Amy, we've got a bunch of little nieces and nephews between us, but we've also got a catch-all gift that all of our siblings love for their newborns.
You're totally right, and it's Pampers Swaddlers, because Pampers Swaddlers wick wetness away to keep babies drier and subsequently parents happier.
Pampers Swaddlers absorb wetness better versus the leading value brand and provide up to 100% leak-proof skin protection and up to 0% skin irritation.
Pampers Swaddlers are dermatologist approved by the Skin Health Alliance. They're hypoallergenic and they're free of parabens and latex.
Now you can try Swaddlers with new Pampers-free and gentle wipes for healthy baby skin. These wipes won't tear. In fact, they grip mess, shall we say, more firmly and clean better, leaving baby skin dry, soft, and smooth.
For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician-recommended brand.
Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers Cash. Redeem your Pampers Cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers Cash has no cash value.
The hardest part about being a mom is the kids.
What fresh hell?
Laughing in the face of motherhood.
What are rain boots? My kids have no idea.
With Margaret Abels
and Amy Wilson.
Hummers get thrown overboard.
A podcast that solves today's parenting dilemmas
so you don't have to.
But it's hard. It's a thing we hate.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood. This is Amy.
And this is Margaret. And this week we are talking about a very important topic, things we hate. Things I hate about motherhood.
We're due for a venting, aren't we?
It's a vent fest over here.
We're a pressure cooker and we're about to release that valve and just like for 45 minutes.
Love it. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. We were talking on our last episode about, you know, why is this so hard? And it is so hard. And today we're just going to yell at the hard things as loud as we can.
That's right. We talked about there being a sort of ritual release of pent up frustrations, and consider this.
That's right. This is our primal scream episode. You might want to turn your volumes down, people.
This is our bang a gong. Before we start, I just want to say, if you're ever wondering, like, hey, did What Fresh Hell ever do an episode about chores? Did they ever do an episode about, you know, teenagers, whatever? You can always go to whatfreshhellpodcast.com, go to the search bar, and you can search our literally hundreds of episodes and find us talking about pretty much anything you would want to talk about, including things we hate.
Yes. And if there is something that you don't find and you're like, no, I need you to talk about this, come to our What Fresh Hell podcast group and tell us, because that's how we get a lot of our episodes ideas.
Or email us info@whatfreshhellpodcast.com.
Listen, guys, we're very accessible. Very accessible.
We're here for you.
But unfortunately, we hate.
We love mail.
Email. We hate reading email. So that's going to be a problem. This idea came from our Facebook group. Elizabeth put this post up. Can we play a game called Things I Hate About Motherhood? I'll go first. School photos. You?
All right, school photos. I don't bother with these. Like, I decided a long time ago. I do have like a frisson of guilt when they're in my inboxes. I'm not going to buy them, and maybe I should buy them.
What now, Amy?
A frisson. It's just a little tiny amount.
A frisson.
It's like you get a joy chill. I get a guilt frisson. Like, I probably should buy the refrigerator magnet, but wait a minute, my refrigerator doesn't have a magnetic surface and I don't want these. And I have on my phone hundreds of better pictures of my kids than what's going to come home.
No, I'm clinging to this life raft with my cold, dead hands. Like, I can't let go. I still get the thing is, I think a theme of this episode is going to be it's 2021, people. Like, why am I getting like a laminate, like a weird, like not recyclable, but like not a Xerox, like a shiny folder with a detachable envelope that I have to lick and glue and send in a check? Like, what are we living in, 1942?
And cut them with scissors. Right. They're not even detachable.
Yeah. But I can't get out. I can't get out. I can't get over the guilt.
I think they're useful in a like so bad they're good kind of way. You know what I mean? As a sort of, you're kidding.
My daughters came out absolutely adorable this year. Like, it's the best picture I've seen of her all year. They're adorable. It looks like a school picture in a different way. I feel like someday I'm going to do a craft where I have a frame with all the pictures through the years. I'm not, but I'm still in the upside down with school pictures.
There is a school picture of me that I love. It's me in first grade with an absolutely terrible sort of Peter Pan haircut. And I'm coloring a picture of Jesus with some very large crayons, like a crayon you'd give to a toddler so they wouldn't choke on it, like a giant crayon. I'm coloring in ostensibly. I'm pretending to color in, which is what I really hate about school pictures. Like, just take a picture of them doing something. Don't take a picture of them pretending to color in a picture of our Lord and Savior while sort of looking off into the distance and thinking about whatever it is a first grader thinks about with a distant stare. It's a so bad it's good, and I'm really glad I have it.
Okay, you'll have to put that up on the Facebook page because we need to see it.
Yeah, I hope my mom can find it.
The other thing is, yes, it's become like a $1 million industry. There was a funny tweet years ago that said, like, slow your rolls, you know, school picture industry. I don't need a giant quilt of my child's face. Like, it's true. Like, the things that are on that, you know, sheet of things that they want you to purchase are more and more bizarre every year.
All right. I need to take your temperature on something else I read about school pictures recently. People were getting kind of all up in arms that it's really, really bad for our kids. I guess you can order retouching.
What?
Not to give your kid false eyelashes. Like, if your kid has bad acne, right?
Brat's filter.
Yeah, yeah. I want Brat's eyes. No, that you can specifically, like, acne. Like, we'll airbrush out the acne on your high school sophomore's photos before sending it home. And people are like, that's wrong to teach our kids. And like, I think if my kid was having a pimply week, I think I'd be okay with that. What do you think?
I'm fine with it. Not interested.
Not Brat's eyes, but the acne stuff. I retouch it in my photo.
Yeah, I mean, you shouldn't be doing Brat's eyes, but yeah, a little retouch. Believe me, Amy and I are getting our pictures done next week, and there'll be some retouching.
There'll be a heavy Vaseline on the lens.
I need the Brat's filter, please. This was one of the early answers to Elizabeth's question. Again, the question, can we play a game called Things I Hate About Motherhood? Bianca wrote, the kids. I might not be good at this game.
That's what I was thinking before. Like, Elizabeth, like, this whole page is things I hate about motherhood, like everything we do.
Yeah. I mean, certainly the hardest part about being a mom is the kids. That's definitely certainly top of mind.
That is hilarious. Yes.
Connie says doctor's appointments. Do you agree with this? I outsource all doctor's appointments. The idea of calling a receptionist, getting on the phone and making a doctor's appointment.
Oh,
I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. My children will have no well visits.
Just yesterday, I had my daughter at a doctor's appointment, and on the way out, the doctor is pregnant. And she said, but I want to see her before I go on maternity leave. So schedule a follow up for, you know, January. And I said, okay, great, I will. I go out to the waiting room, and there have to be six people standing in line at the receptionist desk, who is never like a fount of like warmth and helpfulness, this receptionist, right? But she's like, my system is down. I'm resetting the system. You all are going to have to wait. She's saying that.
I can't do this to myself.
I have to go home. And then I go home. They do let you do it online now, schedule it online, but I can't get an appointment until like May if I do it online. So now I'm going to have to call, which is definitely the ninth circle of hell.
Oh, my deepest apologies. I was at the hairdresser yesterday. And I usually get my hair done like every 3 months. And now that I'm a woman of a certain age, I was like, oh, I have to actually go every 2 months probably because my grays are so bad. And we made my next two appointments, and she's always super busy. So she's like, just go ahead and schedule out the rest of your year. And then if we need to adjust the appointments, it's fine. And I said, oh, yeah, I'll do that the next time I see you. And she said, oh, you can just do it at home on your computer. And I was like, no, I can't. I'm afraid that's not possible for me. I'm sorry.
Why wouldn't you do that?
I don't know. Why would I do that? It's just like open a computer and make hair appointments through the whole year.
Oh, I would do that rather than talk to somebody for sure, though.
I mean, rather than talk to someone, but I'm like, the next time I'll go, I'll just make the next appointment while my hair is like being dried. You know, it's fine.
I was recently asked to give my availability for a meeting in May of 2022.
No.
Like, you know, respond to this poll. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to vote with my feet on this one and just ignore.
I don't know why that is such. We have that a lot, scheduling stuff for the podcast. Like, when are you available this week? And I'm like, I don't know. That's too impossible, that question. As we mentioned on last week's episode, I'm a little overwhelmed to general people. The small things are really getting me down.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those things, like Marianne, Allison, Mara, Jennifer, Michelle, and Katie, feeding the people. It's never ending.
It's better now that they're back at school. I hope everybody listening, their kids are like kind of back at school. Sometimes that school lunch thing is a savior. It's such a savior.
Yeah. God bless school lunch. I love it. And my kids are like, I don't like it. And I'm like, figure it out. Bye-bye.
I do. I love it.
Yeah.
And it's also cheaper. It's also cheaper than feeding your kids. I mean, my kid can get like a giant piece of pizza and a, I don't know, slushy drink. And it's, I suppose it's horrible. Whatever. It's better than what I had for lunch when I was in high school. And it's like $4.99.
It's fine. They'll survive it. I'm way past it's horrible and it's not organic. It's like, it's fine. It'll get them to the end of the day, mm-hmm. which is my only goal. I have accepted, I said on an earlier episode, I am no longer available to learn when it comes to dinners. I'm just getting dinner on the table.
You did a few months ago. We were very excited about a plan where you had a freezer full of meat and then you pulled out a meat and then you had a couple of
guess what,
squeezy
Amy?
Bottles.
Didn't work out that great.
That was somebody else. I must have misremembered that.
No, it was me. It just didn't work out that great.
Yeah. The problem is you have to keep buying it.
I mean, it's fine. But again, I believe it was after we had that conversation that I was a dieter back in the day. As we know now, we no longer diet. We've learned that our bodies are our bodies and it's all good. And I no longer, you know, invest mentally.
A lot of us have learned that a little bit of the time. That's right.
I mean, listen, I no longer invest myself in the lose weight industrial complex. I'm out. You can listen to our episode. Let's not care what we weigh. I'm over it. I'm not doing it anymore. Diets don't work.
I heartily approve.
Try to, you know, eat what sounds good to you. But back in the day when I was invested in diet culture, my roommate and I still laugh about this. We'd be like, can you believe that this whole shrimp and angel hair pasta dish is only 350 calories? Like, we've unlocked the secret. We've figured it out. Like, this only, you know, if you just ate this, you'd be thin. Or like high volume, low fat foods. I've unlocked the secret to like never being overweight. And it's like, oh, you're just, it's the passion of the converted. And you're like, there's a secret to making this work. And then eventually you're like, oh, there's no secret. And that's how I now feel about meal planning. Like, there is no way to unlock, you know?
Oh, I think meal planning works if you do it. It's just hard to want to do it. Meal planning is just like, it's sweeping the leaves into a big pile.
Yeah.
And bagging them up once a week instead of sweeping a little bit every day.
And I do basically, my thing is, if I don't meal plan at all, I do now on the whiteboard, write like, chicken parm, burgers, you know, enchilada. Like, I try to decide early in the week what we're having every day of the week. But I'm not saying there's no way to make it easier. I'm saying for me, I have learned to accept that there's no way to unlock the secret to enjoying cooking.
Oh, yes. Agreed. Allison says, I have a fantasy where my children can survive by my sprinkling a few flakes over them once a day like fish.
She's absolutely correct.
This is me, a couple of handfuls of cereal, and I'll see you tomorrow. Like, that's why it's so hard.
My sister always says, like, she's the person who wants the Jetsons pill, you know? Like, I mean, I love food, so I do love eating, but my sister is definitely somebody who, if they could invent the, like, Jetsons pill food, she would be happier.
That's why it's hard for me. Like, I'm the least interested in it.
And she's single. Like, even just feeding herself, she feels this way. She's like, I wish I could just go to Jetsons pill form.
I am the least interested in it and yet somehow the most responsible for producing vast, vast quantities.
Another arm that is hated here is picky eaters.
Oh, see, that is even worse. That's another turn of the screw when you do the thing, you meal the plan and you cook the thing.
Melissa says last night dinner was 3 hours long. One kid got three different dinners to get him to eat. I know people are going to like, you know, side-eye Melissa on this one. But listen, I have one kid who is beyond a picky eater, a sensory reactor to foods and stuff. And this morning, there is, at this point, one breakfast he will eat. And we didn't have it in the house this morning. And let me tell you, it was a nightmare. I get it. I know that people want to come at picky eaters and be like, they'll eat when they're hungry. We've done episodes about this. Some kids will not. And it is a nightmare.
So what did you do in this situation? There's one breakfast said child will eat. Said breakfast is not in the house. Do you send the child to school hungry and then worry about if they're going to have meltdowns or what do you do?
I made a backup breakfast that has in the past been acceptable to this child, but of late has not been acceptable.
If you read the fine print, breakfast is listed, yes.
And I said, this is all we've got and I'm going to stand over you and make you eat it, basically. And that's what we did. It wasn't great.
I had a come to mama conversation this morning with one of my high schoolers who is not really eating breakfast, and he is often not hungry for lunch either. And then he comes home from practice, you know, at like 6:30 p.m. ready to, like, you know, kill somebody. He's so hungry.
Rip the walls off. Yeah.
And then I can't get this kid to eat breakfast. And he said, I eat too much at night. I said, you didn't eat that much dinner last night. No, at night, I found out, is like 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning while I am sweetly slumbering.
Yeah. Passed out.
He's eating his way through the every chip in the house, and then he's not hungry for breakfast.
Well, when you're done with that conversation, you can have a talk with my husband, who got out of bed last night at like 11 to go have make himself a meal.
Who are these people?
After having dinner. Amy, we have only begun to scratch the surface of things we hate. We will be back with even more things we hate.
Margaret, I've got a go-to baby shower gift that I give whenever there's another newborn in my life. Can you guess what it is?
Amy, three guesses. First two don't count. It's Pampers Swaddlers.
Exactly. Pampers Swaddlers keep baby's skin dry, happy, and healthy. Pampers Swaddlers absorb wetness better than the leading value brand and provide up to 100% leak-proof skin protection and up to 0% skin irritation.
Pampers Swaddlers are dermatologist approved by the Skin Health Alliance, hypoallergenic, and free of parabens and latex.
Try Swaddlers with new Pampers Free and Gentle wipes for healthy baby skin. These wipes are 5 times stronger, gripping mess more firmly, shall we say, and making diaper changes a breeze.
For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers Cash. Then redeem your Pampers Cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers Cash has no cash value. Amy, you know me well enough to know that my daily power breakfast is toast with peanut butter on top.
Toast with peanut butter. It's also, by the way, one of my favorite power breakfasts. So we agree on that thing.
We were recently together and we shared some toast with peanut butter. And I'm going to tell you, we used Hero Bread. It adds even more protein and fiber to that combo without adding any more sugar.
Hero Bread has remade the carby, empty calorie bread products into versions that include no net carbs, 0 gram sugar, and fewer calories, plus more protein and fiber, while still being super fluffy and delicious. I was not sure that that particular combination was going to be possible, but Hero Bread has figured it out.
Yeah, this is one I'm glad they let us try. It's like, it really tastes good. I've been trying to add more protein to my diet, and I would have thought that a hamburger rolls was not the place to do that, Amy. But all of Hero Bread's products, from rolls to tortillas to croissants, oui please, offer protein and fiber, 0 to 1 grams of net carbs, and 0 grams of sugar.
Start your Hero Bread bundle on their website and get 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use the code MOTHERHOOD at checkout.
I like this bread, people. It's HERO.CO and code MOTHERHOOD for 10% off your order of Hero Bread. Amy, Spirit Week is hated. Oh, universally, yes. Hated.
My kids are old enough now.
Dr. Seuss Week, says Dana or Dana. Lindsay says Crazy Hair Day, dress like your favorite character from a children's book.
Yeah, I actually wrote about this in my book that I could never tell when my kids were little and you'd get these assignments. Villain Day, it's Under the Sea Day. And I would kill myself trying to figure out an Under the Sea outfit for the kids. No, that one was ignored. And then the one that I would skip, everybody would come to school in these elaborate things except my kids. I would always pick wrong. I could never tell which ones were horribly important, which ones counted for 75% of your final grade, and which ones were optional.
And I want to speak briefly to the school. They're trying to make it fun. You know, they're not just trying to make your life a nightmare.
Especially right now. Like, let's inject a little levity into this weird time.
Mm-hmm. Let's inject a little fun. But, and I think otherwise it's like, my new phrase in my grumps that I'm in right now is like, that sounds like a you problem. Like, that sounds like a you problem, school. You make it more fun, not me.
Well, I mean,
but I understand they can't make Dr. Seuss costumes for 20 kids.
I think that, yeah, I'm thinking, like, how should the schools handle this? Like, my kids are old enough now that, like, wear the school colors or don't. I mean, it's not even, I put it on the family schedule so that they remember, because they'll be mad at me if they didn't know it was Dress Down School Colors Day. But I'm not, like, laying out the outfits or anything.
I will give this a hashtag, it gets better. Like, middle schoolers, they can manage this themselves if they need a little help with their wacky hair. But, like, this happened in preschool, and you're basically like, you're on, mom. It's wacky hair.
What's hard about the middle school kids is that they are too cool for everything until the last second, where they decide maybe they're not too cool. right?
Correct.
So like Halloween, like it'll be, you know, the night before Halloween, or perhaps 6 p.m. on Halloween, and your big kid will decide actually they are going trick-or-treating and they need a costume.
And they need something. Yes. And why didn't you get them something?
And why, mom, didn't you predict that that would happen?
Amy, let's talk about a thing that everyone hates, and certainly the pandemic has not helped. We've talked about this. Why is everyone so loud? Crystal says she was an only child. She has two kids. She has to say what she hates is the volume. Shush.
Yep.
Sarah says the weird, loud, annoying sounds being made almost constantly by my kids. I have said her kids are 13 and 9, and I will say there was a lot of blowback where people are like, oh no, this doesn't get any better at 9 and 13.
No, it doesn't.
I think it does get a little bit better. You think no?
No, I mean, my kids are so loud. I mean, only sometimes. I suppose it's like what I was saying before about all the leaves being swept into a pile. It's not constant, but when it's loud, it's loud.
That's the thing. It's less constant, but it's louder. My 9-year-old had her first ever sleepover. And these two girls, I mean, my husband and I kept looking at each other like, this can't be real. Like, they're doing a bit, you know? I mean, just both of them simultaneously talking at the absolute top of their lungs for 8 hours straight. Like, someone should be listening at some point, right? No, it was just like two radios turned to top volume pointing at each other. And they had the time of their lives.
I used to live in an apartment building in New York City that was like over 100 years old, really well constructed, right? They don't make them like this anymore. Like brick, wood, I don't know. It was solid. It was a lockbox. You could not hear any street noise or neighbor noise in this apartment.
Okay.
With one exception. The people downstairs, the girl was having a sleepover party. I believe it was like her 11th birthday party. And I could hear through the floor the sounds of eight girls screaming the lyrics to Defying Gravity from Wicked several times in a row around, you know, 12 or 1 in the morning. It was the only time I heard my neighbors. That breaks the sound barrier, a sleepover.
That tracks, as the kids say. I have to give a huge shout out to Sarah with an H. She says, yes, when I was young, I did a C semester in high school. We were taught no whistling on deck. It's literally a sailing rule, so you don't annoy people and get thrown overboard. My girls are hummers and drive me nuts. I went to back to school night once, and the teacher, who was otherwise quite friendly and sweet, this was a first grade classroom, she at some point stopped and like kind of glared at us all. And she said in a very serious voice, some of your children are hummers.
Oh, my.
You need to work on that with them. They cannot be humming all day. And I was like, that seems like a weird take for a first grade teacher. But now that I've been in captivity with people for 18 months straight, I'm like, yeah, hummers get thrown overboard.
I mean, humming is better than out loud, like yelling the dog's inner thoughts, isn't it?
Disagree.
Because it's sort of barely there.
Just a constant noisemaker. I lived for a while against my will in a roommate situation, trying to keep it vague, with a...
with a hummer?
A perma noisemaker. This was in college.
Give us an example. Give us a little a soundtrack.
Oh, hey. Oh, good morning to me, I guess. Oh, where's my folder? Ha, ha. Oh, I need a pencil. Like, all day long. Narrated, sang, whistled, and just like there was never silence. That is the closest I've ever come to murdering one of my fellow human beings. Like it was, I had to move out.
Yeah.
It was ungodly. Like, and then all night long, and then fell asleep and snored. No joke. It was wild. This person was a human noisemaking machine. It's the same. It's like singers, you know, hummers, people who constantly make noise. It's my kryptonite.
I feel like whistling is more of a rare bird. Like, I feel like whistling is something every 7-year-old desperately wants to figure out how to do. But then they, once they have it in their toolkit, they don't take advantage of it as much.
But can't you picture, like, back in the day, there's like a long crossing from like the old country to the new world, and like, definitely at some point someone gets thrown into the sea for whistling. Like, for sure that happens. Test scores, permission slips, back to school paperwork. She goes on and on. She has a list of a good 20 things that she hates.
Do you think she has this saved as a shortcut on her phone and she could just with a few keystrokes?
I hope so. Karen, I just want to give you a shout out. I'm really feeling you this week. This is me. Like, what do you hate? Name it. Name it, people.
She names book fairs, which do kind of get me going too, because they sell all this crap that isn't books, right? It's like,
we have a book fair rule. It can't have a toy on it. Cause yeah.
It can't have a toy on it, and it can't be like top 100, oh my gosh, Kardashian facts. Like, they sell like the worst books, and I get it. It's like, that's what kids want, I guess. But this book fair stuff is so unliterary.
I don't care about that. I think that anything kids want to read is good. Anything. I don't care. But I don't want the, like, they sell like a book that's got a shark toy like embedded in the cover. Those drive me crazy because like my kid's not going to read. He's literally going to pull out that shark toy. It's $14 for like a 90 cent shark toy. And he's going to throw lose it within 2 seconds.
Yes, I have nothing to add.
It's quite annoying.
It's up and $23.99.
Connie and Sarah hate bedtimes. Sarah says, my daughter gets super silly and goofy at bedtime. Again, 13, not a toddler. And I can't enjoy it because I'm so focused on getting everyone the blank to sleep.
Yes. Well, this is tipping into overtired. And I learned this recently when I was researching a Question of the Week episode. So I want to say here that when kids move from tired to overtired, I never knew this. It's your body's like, I'm tired. It's time to sleep. I'm not going to sleep. I might be in some intense situation. So I'm going to jack the adrenaline because I must clearly be in some horrible situation where I'm going to have to stay up all night and it's an emergency. So here's, you know, 4x the adrenaline to get you through the next 8 hours. So if your kid is being super silly and goofy, there may be a little like adrenaline sitch going on. That you can roll the bedtime back.
Ugh. I have started a habit that I really hate in the pandemic. At 8:30, I'm like, I'm out, I'm done. But then we have a very open floor plan house. So anywhere I am in the living spaces becomes, Mom, where's my phone? Mom, can I find socks for tomorrow? People asking me stuff. So at about 8:30, I go into my bedroom and I lay down in bed because I don't have anywhere to sit in my bedroom. But it's the only room I have with a door. And I feel like I never saw my mother lying down. Like, I feel like my mom was always like up, right? You never saw your mom in bed.
No. And in fact, mothers get like, I know my mom at least, like, but a lot of moms get like, will you relax? Like, will you sit down already? Like, why are you still up and buzzing about the kitchen? Will you just sit down and relax? As if it's like their choice to be the only one not relaxing at the end of the day and still doing stuff.
But I feel I don't like that my kids then start coming in at 8:30 and I'm laying down in bed, but there's nowhere else for me to hide from them. I'm sorry.
You're giving them lots of hints.
Yeah, I've definitely put up a shingle that says do not disturb. They don't care.
You're lying down.
But I mean, I want to put enough distance between me and them that it's not just like, literally, if I'm in my living room, 6 people can call to me. Well, there's only 5 people in my house and I'm one of them. So technically 4 people can call to
me. And a cat.
But yeah, I'm not a fan. And I do think it's a bad habit that I've developed during the pandemic of like the minute I'm done with, you know, the nighttime, like dishes and homework stuff, I jump in bed. But it's, I don't know. It can't be fixed. Amy, let's talk about Adriana, who says school email, specifically the last minute, just a reminder. Tomorrow is blank blank day. Be sure your child dresses as a blank blank, as we've already discussed. She says, also, it's not a reminder if there was never a first notice.
Yes, here's the problem, I think. And I understand why the schools are doing this, but this drives me cuckoo. As the kids get older, they're like, well, the kids should be responsible. And then they send home a reminder to the parents and the parents are like, what? And the kids have no idea. And this doesn't necessarily get better. They send the emails and the reminders, or there are no emails and reminders. If there are any, it's only for the kids. Because the kids are supposed to be handling this, but like, we are not there yet. We are not there on kids. Just a reminder, it's a really rainy morning, so you can wear your rain boots to school this morning. Like, what are rain boots? My kids have no idea, and they're not going to tell me they got that email. You know, it's up to you to think about it.
Yeah, I think this is another post-pandemic thing for me. This sounds like a you problem. Like, we got out of the habit of doing a lot of this stuff. Here's your reminder that it's super fun night. I'm like, oh, yeah. Leave me out of this, people.
This morning, my daughter was leaving for school. She walks to school. Actually, and my husband was going to give her a ride this morning because it's an incredibly rainy morning and, you know, like nor'easter rain. And I said, you know, put on something for rain. It's raining. And she, you know, comes downstairs in the usual sneakers she wears to school every day that she's kept like pristine and perfect because she loves these sneakers. And I said, it's raining. And she's like, I know. I don't have anything else to learn. Like, she did that. And then my husband was like, okay, so your sneakers might get room. Well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And he said, okay. He handled it better than I would have in the moment, because he's like, okay, just letting you know that if those get wet and muddy and kind of ruined when you walk home today in the rain, that we're not going to buy you another pair. And I know you really like those sneakers. And then...
how'd that go?
Huff, puff, you know, stamp and stomp. Miraculously, she does have rain boots.
Oh, interesting. Probably the ones you bought her.
Yeah, exactly. They were in there after all. Yeah. And I felt like he handled it the right way to not fight with her about it, but just be like, just so you know, those are going to be wet and muddy, and then, you know, keep wearing those to school every day.
Amy, you lead me to another thing that people absolutely hate, and that does not get better. Suzanne says defiance, passive and active, from both of my kids, respectively.
Nope.
We have discussed this, that, like, this is the loop I'm currently stuck in my house, which is like, you will not talk to me that way. Like, I have a zero tolerance policy for being talked to rudely.
Yes.
And yet I have kids who talk to me rudely 100 times a day. And so
yes.
I think I am overreactive to it. And especially by like dinner time, by the end of the day, it's like, what is this? Don't speak that way at my table. Like,
yeah.
But then I feel like I'm just stuck in the unbelievable like signal loop that is like, what? Don't. What? It's like, again, this is radios just playing towards each other.
Absolutely. It's bonkers. It's all the time. It's incessant. I have something for you that kind of works. It's working for me sometimes. Dr. Stacey Haynes, we had her on a couple weeks ago. Listen to her episode. She talks about the sort of plan B approach, which is laid out in her stuff. You can find it in the episode. But in those moments when your kid is like, rain boots, you say something like, I notice you're feeling really frustrated about what shoes you're going to wear this morning. What's up? When the kid is doing that, if you like, and you always do this, mom, I notice you're really frustrated right now. What's up? And then they pause and then they're like, well, it's because I have so much to do tonight. And they tell you what they're really mad about instead of continuing to come at you. It sometimes really works.
Sometimes. I think that's right. And it's definitely better than 1,000% of the time getting into like, you will not respect my authority. You know,
it's worth a shot. Yeah, it's worth a shot.
Yes, it's worth a shot. I mean, listen, a lot of times are they going to be like, nothing's wrong with me, something's wrong with you. You know, like, it's hard. But like, yes, if you can come in underneath it, it's better. Oh, it's still a thing I hate, but I accept your advice, Amy. Okay, we'll be right back.
More and more, you hear about the importance of electrolytes as part of staying hydrated, because you need the sodium and the potassium, not just the water. And whether you're looking to hydrate during a workout, while traveling, or at the end of a long night, Sports Research Hydrate Electrolytes have got you covered with over 65 trace minerals, 7 essential vitamins, and coconut water powder.
Crisp and refreshing and without any sugar, this is hydration powered by Sports Research. They're little packets you can just grab and take with you to mix into your water bottle on the go. My favorite flavor so far, Amy, gotta be the cherry pomegranate.
Interesting. My high schooler likes the lemon lime, and she keeps a few handy in her backpack for days that she has practiced after school. These electrolytes have the sodium and the potassium that you need to go with it in the optimal ratio for daily hydration.
Visit sportsresearch.com and use code WHATFRESH at checkout for 50% off your purchase of Hydrate.
That's Sports Research, SPORTSRESEARCH, sportsresearch.com, and use code WHATFRESH for 50% off your Hydrate electrolytes order.
Hello, Hellions. You know we listen to a lot of podcasts that aren't our own, and today we want to tell you about a podcast that really speaks to us and will speak to any parent of a child with special education needs.
The podcast is called Understood Explains. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Ortube, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs.
The latest season of Understood Explains covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. One of my kids has an IEP, and I found this podcast so validating and so helpful. I feel better equipped to advocate for my child's educational needs now.
This podcast is helpful for parents in many different situations, whether your child already has an IEP or you're just starting to wonder if they might need extra support in the classroom. Juliana has content for kids of all ages and for kids who are learning English as an additional language as well.
To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood explains.
And now, Things We Hate, the speed round.
From the What Fresh Hell podcast.
Birthday parties.
Including, but not limited to, indoor play spaces, birthday parties we forget to attend, birthday parties that are way too long, and the horrible crime that is goodie bags.
The word I longed to hear for my whole life that I now hear 45,000 times a day.
Mom, 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 mom!
Winter clothing.
Ugh! How is it already freezing? I don't know. The gloves are still in that box in the attic. You'll have to wear these oven mitts until I can find something else.
Pushing the swing at the park.
It's 2021, people. Can we put a motor on these things already? My arms are killing me.
Sunscreen.
Beach days used to involve like swimming, maybe a little volleyball, if you're lucky, a cocktail. Now they involve coating angry small people in Elmer's glue every half an hour.
This has been Things We Hate, the speed round.
From the What Fresh Hell podcast. Jessica says she hates sick kids. I mean, probably not writ large, Amy. That didn't come out right.
Not the kids, the sick.
She says, I remember my mom being so kind and loving when I was sick. I am not sure I have that in me when my kids are snotting all over me and they get so crabby that I can't fix it.
Yes, I was in there here very recently, Jessica, with a sick kid who was so cranky and is biting the hand that feeds them. And it's so hard. And I tried to tell myself that the irritability was a symptom, that this kid was doing their best and that they were irritable because they were that sick. But it was hard. I hate it.
This brings out my inner monster. And I will say two things. One, fog of childhood is playing in your favor. Like, your mom was very angry with you while you were sick and snotty. Like, she was definitely not, I'm picturing that like white nurse's hat. She was not like Florence Nightingaling and being like, my darling child, let me tend to you.
Yeah.
She was very annoyed by you as well. Sickness drives me crazy. My worst of this is if my husband gets sick, I become a monster. Like, I cannot stand him being sick.
Why do you think that is? What is that about for you?
Because I don't like human weakness. It's not for me. We're rowing and my partner's getting a cramp and I'm like, this will not stand. We have to keep rowing, you know?
Yeah, I can't carry you.
I'm really a monster. Like, when I'm sick, my husband is very nice to me and takes good care of me. But when he's sick, I'm like, this on top of everything else?
Whenever I'm sick, my husband will often react, oh, but I think I have it too. Like, he's very suggestible. I think it's also a reaction to, she can't be sick because I can't take it on, right? So he's like, yes, okay, you're sick, but I think, now that you mention it, that I also have, my stomach is also starting to bother me. And in fact, we'll definitely get to a point that will be more than yours. He has to top me in the feeling sick.
I have a friend whose husband has a really bad case of that. On the way to the hospital to deliver one of their children, something flew in the window and got in his eye.
Poor baby.
And like she said, like she was basically laboring and like wailing and like screaming. And all the nurses were like gathered around her husband trying to make sure his eye was okay. She was like, this is the life I've chosen.
That sounds semi-familiar.
Here's one that I could not agree with more. Anna Lynn says, waking up to people who need me. I'm not a morning person, but my kids naturally wake up at 5:30, way too early. Plus, I have to get all the cups, help people use the bathroom, get this stuffy they forgot. And it's torture every single day.
All the cups. I want to just highlight that as something. I'm going to pull that out as a separate thing I hate. All the cups.
This podcast could be called All the Cups. It sums it all up.
We do like 2.5 loads of cups a day. Yes. In the dishwasher. Yes.
Yeah. I find if you can, my husband and I recently went away for the first time since COVID. We went away for 2 nights and like we went away late on Saturday and came back first thing on Monday morning. It was barely a getaway.
Not a thing I hate. Yeah. Okay.
And neither one of us was feeling particularly well. And still, it was magical. When we lived in Los Angeles, you could get a $49 flight to Las Vegas. And back then, you could get hotel deals that were like a $79 hotel room at night. Neither one of us gambled. We would literally go. We would take the late night Friday night. We would have a delicious meal. And then on Saturday morning, we would sleep as late. They have the good blackout curtains in those Vegas hotel rooms.
Yes, they do. Right.
We would sleep as late as we could. Then we would wake up, we would get breakfast in bed, and we would watch like a 3-hour movie in our bed.
You flew to Las Vegas to do this.
And then we would take a nap. And then we would go out to a nice dinner, and then we would sleep 10 hours again. And that was the whole getaway. And people would always laugh. They're like, you're the only people who go to Las Vegas for the sleeping. And I'm like, it's just about, it's the thrill of waking up to no one looking for you and having a dinner where you're not looking at your watch and being like, we have to get home. The babysitter said she can only stay till 10:30.
I love a good blackout curtain. And now that you say it, I'm like, I think I'm putting that on my next visit list, because I'm sure Las Vegas blackout curtains are without parallel.
The best. They're incredible. It's like being back in the womb. I mean, it is so dark. You can't see the hand in front of your face. And then you like open the curtains and it's like, rah, you're on the surface of Mars.
Your kids will eventually sleep later than you. I know it's hard to believe, but they will. And you will have that time in the morning, particularly on weekend mornings, that you can do what you want for a while before you have to deal with the
Amy, Tiffy hates the GD unending mess. And she's not wrong.
You realize when you step out for 24 hours and you come back and it looks like a disaster area that, oh, like that nobody else does that constant. Like I never leave a room without taking something with me that doesn't belong in that room to start moving it towards the room where it does belong. And just nobody else thinks that way in my house.
This is one of those things that, much like the dinner, I mean, it has to be done. But I think the mental energy I sometimes give to there's a system that will make it less painful is another thing I've given up on. The one thing that I have really tried to stick with is less stuff overall. That's the only thing that can save us. Okay, everybody needs one good sweatshirt. Everyone needs one coat, one pair of gloves, you know, one of everything. And we don't need 400 plastic toys. We don't need the problem with us is too much stuff.
I'm very curious about this one sweatshirt thing, because
one sweatshirt
in my house, sweatshirts are a single use item. They're like paper towels. You take them to school and you don't bring them home.
So I think it's an age thing, but my kids do not wear sweatshirts in the house. They don't wear sweatshirts at school. A sweatshirt is only involved in the times where you are outside and cold.
Walking to and walking.
And so they need one hanging on a hook by the door. So if you were to be a person like a normal human, like I have 3 or 4 sweatshirts because I wear them in the house. My kids are in a t-shirt always inside. They do not want the bulk of more clothing when they're inside at all.
How do you get past the part though where they take off the sweatshirt, drop it on the floor and never pick it up again or bring it home, and then tomorrow there's no sweatshirt on the hook?
I have an answer for you. They take it off the second they walk in the door. There is some magical dividing line at my door where like the sweatshirt comes right off.
I love it. I've been trying to get that going with masks.
And that's why they only have one, because like it's not on the hook. You've got to go find where you left it. There's only one.
Well, yeah, that I should be taking my own advice about the sneakers and the rain boots. Like you can wear your sneakers in the rain, but then you're going to have muddy sneakers. And that's what you wear to school, because we have one pair of shoes.
Yeah.
Because that did. The pandemic taught me I need one pair of shoes, because I've worn one pair of sneakers for 18 months and have 40 other pairs of shoes.
Yeah.
Stuffed in the tops of closets looking at me.
Less stuff is so, it's the top of the mountain for me. Amy, I've got one that hits close to home. Melanie says she hates middle school drama.
Yeah.
I have 2 middle schoolers right now and nothing prepares you. And even my elementary school student who has sailed through on like a rainbow of like, it's another good day. I do find this very, for lack of a better word, triggering. I got bullied in school. I did not feel confident. And there was the shifting sands thing was really hard for me. I just went through this with one of my kids, fell out with the best friend who's always been the best friend. And the mom and I were kind of texting, do we know what's going on? And I will say the other mom let it, like, let's stay out of it.
Yeah.
If you hear anything that you think can be helped, let me know. But otherwise, and I will say they worked it out this time. But I have 3 kids and I now find that every day at pickup is like, how was your day? And one of them had something bad happen.
Yes. It is a dramatic time. Like it is a huge, like sort of rearranging time. We have a really good episode in this one. Go to whatfreshhellpodcast.com and search for the interview I did with Judith Warner. She wrote a really good book called And Then They Stopped Talking to Me about middle school. But more specifically, it's about our reaction to the middle school drama, like how hard it is for us as survivors of middle school drama to guide our kids through it without getting over invested.
That's the part that is really hard for me. And I'm just getting into it. I feel like we had smooth sailing for a long time. And just lately, it's been like every day. And then sometimes everybody comes home fine. And then there's tears at night. Something happened. You know, it's just there's just a lot with three kids who are all roughly middle school age. It's just like every day it's a thing. Something's happened.
And you can't, I mean, learn from my mistakes. You cannot explain to them that it doesn't actually matter in the big picture, right? Or that who cares what they think.
I will not be learning from your mistake, Amy, but thanks for asking. No, it's so hard to resist being like, this is meaningless. I don't even know anyone from middle school. It's the stakes are so high for them. And to you, it seems so absurd.
But it's hard. It's a thing we hate.
It's a mess. It is a thing we hate. So listen, guys, we could do a 96-hour episode on things we hate. There's a lot to hate about having these children.
A lot of our episodes are kind of things we hate.
Couple people came in hot with perspective. We're not really doing perspective today. Yes, we get it in the big picture. It's all worth it and it all pays off and we love them. But that's not really what we're here for. We're just here to complain today.
That's right.
And so thank you for letting us have this pressure cooker valve to vent.
That's right. We're ready for dinner. Dinner served.
Dinner is served. And with that, thanks for listening, friends. And if you have a great idea for an episode, come to our Facebook group and we'll maybe do an episode based on your idea.
Facebook.com/groups/WhatFreshHellCast.
Big shout out to Elizabeth this week for this week's episode.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Talk to you next week, everybody.
If you're a parent, I invite you to join us at the Mindful Mama podcast, where it's all about becoming a less irritable, more joyful parent. With sometimes hilarious and always thought-provoking experts and friends, at Mindful Mama, we know that you cannot give what you do not have. And when you have calm and peace within, then you can give it to your children. I'm Hunter Clark Fields, and I can't wait to see you there. Listen in to the Mindful Mama podcast.
Hey there, I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilt Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of Tilt is to change the way neurodivergence, whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above, is perceived and experienced so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the Tilt Parenting podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to Tilt Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.